Hi all, once again, welcome back to episode 15 of the All About It Field podcast or stream. We're going to basically talk about game week 14 and what lies ahead basically for this week and quickly look at the next three following weeks, 14, 15 and 16 before we wrap up for the World Cup and see are there any players to target for the shorter run. I mean, we'll see more or less that in this episode. So moving on, first things first, as usual, we'll look at what we are going to cover. We're going to look at a few stats from game week 13, the transfer trends, any players to target, or anything interesting we have seen in terms of the heat map and stats, addressing the captaincy choices, answering a couple of your questions from the chat, and our bus teams. So these are the game week 13 results. This is how game week 13 turned out to be, a surprise defeat for Liverpool at Forest. Was it surprising? I'm not sure. But based on their form, it was, yeah, like that. Everton beating Palace 3-0 was indeed a surprise, I think. And Villa, I think, 4-0 against Brentford. It's like how the players throw their managers under the bus is getting so obvious nowadays. All of a sudden, Watkins... I'm pretty sure Coutinho might score a brace in one of these 3 weeks. Now, that is really left to happen. And yeah. Leeds again. Arsenal dropping points. Sankalp is very disappointed with that, but still,
and I'm very happy. Yeah,
we've got a City fan after a lot of time, long time, because it's just been United fans, and basically it's either Surya or Suresh or me. We just keep on moaning around we're not playing well, and that's finally the first, the second boys are here, and let them argue for a bit for a change. Spurs also losing is one surprise, but for credit to Newcastle, they played well, and Conte got sent off yesterday. The Champions League game, Kane's goal disallowed. That's complete other drama. And mind you, for Spurs, it is do or die in the Champions League. So let's see how they play in the weekend. That is something that is going to play a part. The results are up on the screen. That's pretty obvious. We don't have a lot to speak. I mean, Haaland again scoring a brace. Arguably should have scored a hat-trick. Penalty was not given to him. There was one. So again, people who didn't captain Haaland got away. And there were many who captained Salah and all, to try and see how things go on. But you know, you're getting punished very hardly this season, right?
Yeah.
So we have the key stats for this week. And Sankalp's favorite, Diego Costa, had the most shots, but did end up just scoring 2 points. Harry Kane with 5. Watkins with 5. Watkins scored a goal after so many rebounds, right? Up and down the post, he made the save.
Ball 4 big chances for Watkins. That was huge. Sure. Yeah.
Wilson, Salah, and all, I don't need to talk. Salah is currently again on the most transferred out players again for this week. We'll see in the couple of next slides. I don't know what is ping pong is going on there with managers shipping him in and out. So these are the chances created with Brendan Aaronson from Leeds being at the top and all the other lists. Andres Pereira again, a 10-pointer. He's on my bench. So I want to know one question. How many points did you guys bench this week in game week 13?
My biggest one was Pereira, 10-pointer, and others were just the normal ones. Yeah. So
total roughly about how many points? About 14, 15?
Yeah, 17 points. I had Neco Williams also. Yeah. So 17 points on the bench.
Great.
I've sold off all these guys, you know. Just I cannot trust them, so I've taken Josh Da Silva to give me a 1-pointer. I have the perfect guys. I have nothing to worry. Perisic, Doherty.
I will tell you, my bench had 29 points.
My team scored 37 points.
My bench had 29 points because I wildcarded in game week 13 and I got a red arrow also. And can you tell me how many changes I made in game week 13? This is going to be interesting, and then we'll quickly move on to 14.
On the wild card, pre wild card, yes. On the wild card. Yeah, I guess 6, 7.
Sakal?
7.
I made 4 changes. I'm a fool for using the wild card so late. This is what happens, you know. Either you make a lot of changes or you don't make. So, you know. And yeah, 29 points. I had Luke Shaw, Neco Williams, Andres Pereira, and Ward on the bench.
Wow.
So 29 on the bench. Anyways, let's look at the transfer trends in so far. We have Kepa again leading the race. Trippier, as always, Saliba having next good run of games. Dalot has got a price up to 4.7 now, on par with Luke Shaw at that price. Almiron is someone who is showing Jack Grealish that he's better than him this season. KDB, again, I think KDB is someone, if Haaland is out, if we get some confirmation, then I think Srini can shed light on later. Trossard, again, obvious reasons. Mitrovic, Kane, and Tony, these are, I think, pretty much, you know, the default picks. There's nothing else to talk about here. But quickly go to transfer outs, and these are probably either players who are injured or are not performing. So I have Firmino out of these in this list. So I'm thinking what to do. So we'll see what happens.
Very surprised to see Gabriel Jesus here.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone selling him this week.
Yeah, my transfer plans. I don't get it, but yeah.
These are all very rash moves, you know. After the blank, people just get rage transfers. I think to be particularly if you can turn.
No, normally whenever I have, you know, very poor game weeks, I try not to do any transfers the next week. No, just because I know whatever decision I'm going to make will again backfire, right? And it's just an abnormal week, just, you know, let it go. So that's what I decided. I have, you know, I can make changes. Like, I have Chilwell. I just need to move out of Chilwell. I know, you know, Chelsea defense is just a dangerous play. And you can go to Dalo, etc., etc. But just not making any changes.
So we've done looking at the key stats, the transfer trends here and there. We'll cover up some important things later as we go on very quickly. The next thing what we are going to look at is obviously the game week 14 fixtures and see if there are any punts we can take for this week or for the next 3 weeks, because closing out before the World Cup would make sense for managers to finish it on a high and then, you know, enjoy your break or, you know, take a break, mini break. So Leicester, Man City, you know, as soon as I see the fixture, I realize that is the first game. And it's an early kickoff.
So possibly...
God saved us.
God only saved us with Haaland getting injured.
Exactly. So, do you expect Haaland to start, Srini?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, you would have seen a video on Twitter recently... Haaland limping off. I don't know if it was a real injury or he was just doing something to the cameras. We never know because he wasn't obviously on crutches. If it is a serious injury, I thought he would be on crutches. And Pep told he had a flu, but he was on the post-match training recovery on the pool with the full team. So that also doesn't make sense. Maybe a mild fever or Pep just giving reasons like Klopp for the 0-0 draw. We never know. Yeah. So I think regarding the injury, I feel it's maybe even if it is an injury, I think he'll be out for this week. We should know more from the press conference tomorrow. But I think he'll be fit. And I think I'll still have my captaincy on Haaland and have an Arsenal or Liverpool attacker as vice captain. Because I think Haaland will start this week because City are already top of the group in Champions League. And midweek, everyone will be rested again. So it's essentially this week and then the weekend fixture. So I think there is enough gap for Haaland to recover after this game. Even if it's a small injury, he can shake it off, is what my thinking. We'll obviously know more from the press conference tomorrow.
Will we? We never do. With Pep's conferences, you know, it's one of the worst things. We always wait for it. And his answers are, you know, as bad as you can get, right? So we never get
any. I can predict what is going to be Pep's answer. If somebody asks him about Erling Haaland's fitness, he'll be like, we will see. You will know.
Touch and go.
Touch and go. We will see. You will know.
So I am a bit dilly-dally on the captain now, right? Again, like you said, he might be fit, but I feel like, you know, it's not a game where Pep needs to, you know, risk Haaland, right? City can very well play, especially when you play a, you know, attacking team like Leicester, you can counter-attack them so well, right? And the false nine narrative, you know, falls so well into this kind of, you know, setting, right? So I just feel Haaland might be benched. And like you said, in case he's fit, you never know. If he's required, he'll come off the bench, right? So that's a bit of my worry. I'll definitely, you know, play him. I'll not bench him at any point of time. But that captaincy chip for me again comes out to play. And then, you know, you have to follow Mahatma Gandhi, right? Just cannot, you know, avoid what Bapu said.
Yeah.
But this is the season, I think, where it breaks. You can't, even if Haaland is ruled out surely, I think we should just put the captaincy on him. We can't take the risk. Looks like that kind of a season. Because I feel like if Haaland is on the bench and doesn't start, he will come on as a sub. And after 45 minutes, if City are attacking and Haaland comes on as a sub, he can easily score against Leicester, the two. And if City are comfortable 3-0 at halftime, Pep won't risk him. So I think it would be safe to make him the captain and have an Arsenal attacker or Liverpool attacker as a vice captain. So that's what my thinking is at the moment. Yeah, or KDB, second someone game. In the chat pointed out. Yeah, KDB is a vice captain show, good if you have him.
Yes. And then the next game is Bournemouth against Spurs. And also, I think Spurs, like Harry Kane is going under radar for captaincy more or less this week. Although Bournemouth have started to play well, they had a good run of consistent results. You know, they played, had great performances, although they lost last week. But even Kane could be a good shot, right? Against a team like Bournemouth, who are like more or less defensively very physical. And, you know, Kane is someone who can, you know, play against them. So even Kane could be potentially, we've gone to captaincy very quickly because, I mean, the fixtures, you know, looking at them makes sense, even covering up that at now, is what I would say. So what about Kane?
I have it there, right? So I have been slowly, you know, risking a bit on Kane. I've done it a couple of times. Not given me a lot of points. You know, last time I did it, I think a couple of weeks back, it gave me a 10-5 pointer, I think advantage, 10-14 pointer. The week before I did it, 1 point or 2 point advantage, not a lot of points. I'm going there every now and then because he's scoring. The problem is not scoring his usual, you know, 2 goals, 1 assist, those kind of games are not happening. And primarily because of the counter-attack, right? The counter-attack, so, you know, stationary in nature, right? They're just not dynamic enough. And that Kane's son dynamics has not evolved somehow. Right? You know, son is not there. And the match is coming out, he's scoring. He's just scoring. He's just taking everything away from Kane. So that's hurting me. But I feel this is the week that I understand the logic. You know, if Haaland is playing, why risk it? Right? Because he's playing against one of the weakest defenses in the league. Leicester City, and he'll definitely score. Even if he gets 4-5.
Do you see Spurs scoring 4-5 goals against Bournemouth? Because I can see City scoring 4-5 against Leicester. And I have not seen something from Spurs like scoring 3-4 in a game. So, I want to risk it.
But I agree. But even if Spurs score 2, right? You know, Kane will be associated with both. Most probably, right?
Yeah.
Be it a goal or assist, right? That's good enough for me, right? With City, you never know, right? A lot of the weeks, Haaland is the guy who scores, right? Some of the weeks, Haaland is not the guy who scores, right? Someone like Foden scores, someone like, you know, someone else comes into play, right? With City, that is always a chance. And the injury part now makes me feel like, you know, this is a good week to punt, right? Why can't I punt? I'm not looking like, you know, Kane is an alternative to Haaland. I'm just looking like Kane is an alternative to Salah. Because I feel, you know, if Haaland does not play, that's where you are actually going to, right? So, Kane, yeah. Salah or Saka, right? Most probably, I think people will be going Saka because he's now highly owned, right? Those are the three options that I'm looking at. I'm looking at Kane as a good alternative to Salah. Again, Salah can score. We just saw it yesterday night, you know, out of nothing, Liverpool scored and then Liverpool, you know, Salah assist, right? A goal and assist from Salah will kill you, right? If you do not have him, when people are captaining or vice-captaining him, that is always going to be there.
True.
Yeah, so quickly looking at the chat, if there are any questions, I can see FPL Penguin in the chat. So, hey, Calvin, hope you're doing well. Then KDB vice captain, I can't see anything else. We'll quickly move on. That's one interesting game for me is Potter going back to MX. That's Brighton against Chelsea. And that game, I think, is it's going to be a good one to watch. We'll see how the result pans out. Could end up as well as a draw, so we don't know. But that's going to be a good game.
I just started to hate Chelsea assets, you know. you go there with so much, you know, hopes and aspirations. Potter just kills you, you know. He just keeps killing you, right? So, I had, you know, James and Chilwell at one point. I had James and Cucurella at one point. You just never got something substantial out of it. I still have Chilwell. I benched Chilwell this game week. I just don't think it's, you know, worth it. You never know. He benches Chilwell. And I also don't see Chelsea coming out with a clean sheet. I think it will be a 2-1 kind of a match. It can go either way. I think this is more of a Trossard kind of a game. I feel he'll just score again, one more, you know, just to remind the wildcarders who sold him out, right? You know, why did you sell me? So he'll score one again, one more. But I don't know who will score from Chelsea, right? It can be Mount because he was rested in the Champions League match, right? It can be Sterling if he starts. Exactly. So you never know who actually ends up taking those points from Chelsea, right? So I started hating Chelsea assets altogether. I'm planning to go zero there, and I don't think I'll return also, you know, post World Cup wildcard.
Yeah, it was surprising to see Sterling and Pulisic operate as wing backs for in the UCL game. It was like you have Chilwell and Cucurella, two very good left wing backs, but you see Sterling out there. It was kind of surprising, but the injury crisis meant that Cucurella slotted in at left centre back, and things went on. Yeah, Chelsea assets are a bit of a mess in the FPL at the moment. Avoid for me, yeah.
Yeah, and Potter is also rotating, right? He's showing off his skills now at a higher club, and he's starting to rotate. That is causing problems because I think there was one game where all of a sudden there was massive rotation. Nobody expected all of a sudden. I think it was before Reece James got injured, where he was benched, and just totally kind of unexpected. So that's with Brighton versus Chelsea. We'll see how the games go. I mean, that game goes. Palace Southampton, we have something to discuss. We'll take it on later. Newcastle play Villa. And there was one question about Ings being an option for this week. I just straight away said no. The way Newcastle are defending, and it's away.
Yeah,
I'm
it's pretty
playing double
risky.
Newcastle defense. You know, it might be, you know, jinxed and killed, but I feel, you know, if it's a Newcastle home match, it makes sense to play the double, you know,
Yeah,
Newcastle Botman,
same.
Trippier. Just play them, you know, and hope for the best.
Yeah,
They
same.
are good enough team.
It's too late to bring Ings. Like, I know the manager switch has gone just now, but and they just had a good fixture run for which they had a bad manager or bad team. Now they have a tough three tough games: Newcastle home, United away, and Brighton away. All three are tough games, so I wouldn't take the punt. I would go for
I
someone like
just want
Trent
to
also. Yeah.
remind you as a, you know, Arsenal fan, and Emery is a ex-Arsenal coach, right? In the league, in the season that he started with us, he used the maximum number of players as a coach, you know, compared to anyone else in the league, and he also made the maximum number of subs by 45th minute compared to anyone else in the league. So Emery is
Not good
someone
for
who you,
FPL.
yeah, Emery is someone who sets up his team primarily with respect to the opposition, right? So he'll keep on making changes, he'll keep on playing things around, right? Very, very difficult to take as a, you know, FPL manager, right? And Aston Villa are not that good for you to, you know, risk that 45 minutes stuff, right? So don't get into the, you know, Ings, Bailey kind of punts now. If you have them, hold them, see things out. But if you want to get into it, maybe, you know, look at these 3 weeks as some input data before you go there post World Cup.
So two things I want to add quickly is one that Emery is now being back. He's going to be back at Villa. That is good evening. We're going to see a lot of that spamming everywhere. And the second thing is that Srini considered United as a tough opponent for Villa. You know, at the start of this season, you know, people are mocking United with FDR1 and all, saying, "Yeah, it's an easy game." And now things are changing.
For Villa, it's a tough game, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have to agree, right? We got battered by City, so that is one thing. So, and the next game is Fulham Everton. There's something again about Fulham that we have very briefly, we'll talk about later. Then we have Liverpool Leeds. If it was last season, it was no-brainer, Salah captain, but now things have dramatically changed. And Leeds are in a bad run of spell. They have to turn things up around, and this could potentially be a good game for them to change their form, but they're playing at Anfield, and Liverpool also are inconsistent, so that's going to be an interesting game.
They did score 3 goals.
Yeah, they scored, but something happened. They switch off in the weekends, I think.
Yeah, I feel this is the game that begins at 1-1 because both the defenses are in very bad form and Liverpool are considering big chances for fun. Leeds are poor defensively, and from the press conference, what happened today, in the midfield, they don't have Taylor Adams who has been controlling the midfield. And Cooper is also a big doubt. So he's a two center back and the main defensive midfielder. They have played 90 minutes of all games this season, and already their defense is in shambles. When you bring in a new to slot in at Anfield, I think it's a difficult ask. Yeah, I think Liverpool are scoring 2 to 3 for fun minimum. But we just hope that Salah is at the end of it. Or if I think it's like people took the punt on Darwin Nunes against Forest, and it backfired heavily due to that last minute injury, like and stuff. But I think this is again one more week to take the risk.
Yeah,
I was saying I might do Firmino to Darwin this week at least.
It seems a popular transfer combination. I actually finished my work a bit late yesterday, and I thought, why not look at the Champions League match, of Liverpool, just get a view of how they are. Ajax were just dominating the ball. First half I saw, Ajax was all over Liverpool. They dominated the ball. I think at one point of time, they had like 5 or 6 attempts and Liverpool had 0. But this was the second attempt and Liverpool scored. And then I went to sleep in the 45th minute. And when I woke up, I saw, okay, it's 3-0, right? So Liverpool might not be there, but I think it's a good confidence booster for them. In a game that they're getting battered, they're still able to, win. But at the same time, I think Klopp has now understood. The positioning of Salah has completely changed, right? He's no longer playing that, ultra-wide player. Right, he's playing much, much, much closer. So it'll be there. And one thing for Leeds, their coach is heavily under attack. He's a good coach. I really like Jesse Marsh as a coach. Very, good understanding of tactics, etc. Energetic, someone, younger version of Bielsa. Way, way younger version of Bielsa. But he's under a lot of pressure. So I don't think he will open up. He will, attack as much. I think Leeds will try to defend. They will try to solidify. They will perhaps try to hit on counter. So can be interesting. It can be something like Sini said. It can be a 1-1 kind of game, or it can be, Liverpool just, massacring Leeds and, going 3-4-0. Right? But it hurts me because I sold Salah for Saka last game week. Now, it's going to be another 90 minutes, which is going to be very, very nervous to watch.
You don't have anyone from Liverpool attack?
I just don't.
Planning to get in Darwin? Any plans?
I have Haaland and Kane up front, and Solanke as the third player. Right, I'm just going to stick it because Kane, for me, he's continuing to deliver. So last week I had a dilemma of whether I should do Kane to Nunes, and with the injury, I just pushed it, and again Kane scored. But now I feel that there's no reason for me to sell when Spurs have a decent match. Right, they are facing Bournemouth, right. So let me just go along with this and hope for the best. That's all.
So those who are without Salah, you can go and pray with Sankalp for a blank. Those who have Salah, pray for a brace. Those who don't have Salah, go and get Darwin or somebody else. I got Firmino, but I'm just getting 2-pointers. So we'll see what happens. Liverpool's attack is really confusing, but we'll see. Quickly about Solanke, we got an update saying that he could be playing. He could be, he's fit. So that's the latest on that. Quickly, we just touched upon that. So the last two games that we have is Arsenal Forest. We're not going to talk about it. There's no point. We all know what is going to happen. And United versus West Ham also, I will not talk about it because I don't want anything reverse to happen. So that being
but
said...
But that is a good target to fixture, right? Come on, we have players we should be talking about, right? Even if you do not want to jinx it. Diogo Dalot, do you want to go there? I mean, do you recommend people to go there?
4 yellow cards, but yeah, I would recommend. They have West Ham home, Villa away, and Fulham away. These three games, I feel, I was just going through the stats of the team's defenses. In the last 4 weeks, United have conceded the least big chances in the league. So I think their defense have been quite improving. Their XGC are also among the top 2-3 in the league over the last 3-4 weeks. And I think it is a very good fixture to target. I personally feel Luke Shaw is also on some set pieces and getting in good crosses. So I think he'll be a good asset. And West Ham away form is very bothering. They have scored like just 2 or 3 goals in away this season from 7-8-7 games.
Oh,
so I think there is surely a clean sheet. And whatever comes extra is a bonus for me. And I don't see West Ham, the people are going on Bowen, Scamacca, train, but I don't see them hauling big in the next 3 weeks. Agreed, they have two good fixes after this, but them playing in midweek also doesn't help things. They are a bit of a not a good team to attack at the moment for me.
That's surely a clean sheet, and that's really jinxing United.
You know, currently Luke Shaw is on my bench as the first sub.
Come on, you have to play him. You know, this is the game week where you play him. Right?
When we look at our bus teams, we'll discuss quickly about United. Yes, I think Shaw is better than Dalot at this moment, just solely because of the price both of them are at the moment. It's 4.7, and Shaw is someone who does take set pieces, and that's an additional bonus. And he's been playing good. And both Dalot and Shaw are bonus point magnets. They get bonus points when they keep clean sheets. But my only concern is that with Varane not being there due to an injury, that is something that definitely worries me, because there is a difference in United's defense with Varane and without Varane. And obviously, Maguire is back. I don't know to what extent we'll play. I think it's definitely Lindelof and Martinez. Lindelof is a good defender, but he's not Varane. That's what I can tell you. So, it's a home game. Ideally, we should be defensively good, with Casemiro also playing now very well.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens. So, if you want to get a United defender, I think Luke Shaw is slightly an edge over the low for me. The yellow cards is one that puts me off the low. Price for the low is 4.7. I don't feel that is okay. Shaw is better than the set pieces. Only good advantage with Dalot is that Van Bissaka is nowhere near starting. So he keeps his place. So only for Shaw, it might be Malasia. But today, I think we're playing Sheriff. So we'll know there will be rotations here and there. So that's done with United. I think we're good to go to the next couple of slides that we have. First is Liverpool's positioning. And why this is to scare people who don't have Salah. Basically, this is what Srini had planned.
Yeah, exactly. So this is someone for Sankalp. Like, I know Salah has not been finishing off late, but these are the average positions of Liverpool from the last four games, two Champions League games and the two Premier League games. As you can see that Salah, along with Nunes, has been most higher up on the pitch and has been taking up great positions. But Liverpool, on the whole, have not been that great attacking-wise. But the thing to be noted is Salah is someone who would love to take someone at home, at Leeds. Like, we talk like fixtures bring form. So this is one of the fixtures for me. Leeds against without their centre back and defensive midfielder. And one more thing to notice, Klopp mentioned in the press conference after the UCL game that they played more of a diamond formation, more of a 4-4-2 diamond formation, which was seen in the rightmost extreme on the graphic. Like, it is like Fabinho, Firmino, Henderson, and Elliot playing as the mid diamond, Salah and Nunes up front. So I think this is the formation that should bring the best out of Salah in the coming weeks. And as we know, like, Leeds are a very terrible team away. I was looking at Leeds away numbers, and they have just 1 point this season all day in away, which is the lowest among the teams. So I think if you have Salah and Haaland is ruled out, he's the top captaincy option. And if you have money in the bank, you should surely get Salah or Nunes as one of the transfers this week for your Sankalp.
I completely agree. Logically, I think Salah is the best out, right? Opposition-wise, and the fact that they have scored last week counts, right? Because Salah is a guy who's, on form, he's the best player that is there, right? One of the best players that is there, right? Not only in this league, but now in the world as well, right? So, and if he's there on form, you should look at a way to get him. But that's what I thought post the City match, right? And I thought, okay, maybe, Salah is back. But my concern is not with Salah, but more with, how Liverpool is creating for Salah, right? And that for me still remained even after watching the last match. But things can change very quickly. In a top team like Liverpool, they just need, one such moment, one such game. And, that once that feeling is back, that fluidity is back, you are, left, right? So it's a huge risk playing without Salah, but both Nunes and Salah are people, players to target. It's just that with Nunes, you don't get that confidence, right? Even yesterday, I saw that, match. I was seeing it live, and there was one sitter, a pure sitter. Any striker takes it. Any striker just takes it. And any striker trying to prove a point takes it definitely, right? And Darwin has been trying to prove a point for some weeks, but I don't know. All right. So if you are looking to bring one player, I think it has to be Salah, right? Again, if it's down to price points, you don't have a way and you can take Nunes and hope for the best. But I won't captain Nunes. I would captain Salah.
Agree.
Yeah, that's a very logical summary both of you all have given. But the point is that I got Firmino last week just because Darwin was not there. And I felt like without having Salah was giving me better balance. Obviously, we're playing for the shorter run, like just the 3-4 weeks and then we're done. So okay. What even I noticed and what even the average positioning also says that Bobby Firmino is definitely not an option for you to get if you expect him to cover you the points of what Salah and or potentially Nunes could give. He's someone who's playing very deep. Even though he started playing as a second forward against Forest, he was way behind in the midfield. I think we could see Salah and then we could see, I think, Fabio Carvalho and Elliot and all, you know, playing more advanced than Firmino. So that just put me off. I was like, I think I made up one mistake there, hoping for something which I shouldn't be at the first place.
But if someone tells you, right, and you know, you get some understanding from Klopp, say that Firmino might start the next match, right, and not Nunes, will you still make the sale or will you wait it out?
I as of now, if Nunes is fit, I will switch him from Firmino to Nunes. I don't think Firmino is going to get me any points. He's going to stay behind. He's going to help bridge the attack from the back to the front, you know, dropping in deep and allowing people to move ahead. So he's doing more of that, you know, the Kane role, what he does for Spurs, where he'll drop in deep, he'll allow the people to advance and, you know, build that attack. So that is what Bobby is doing. And Bobby's potentially, you know, one of the, what you can say, the last few years, a great false nine playing as that position and bridging the attack. And
correct the mistake. Yeah, I think Firmino to Nunes is a good transfer this week if you have Firmino. Yeah.
Just wait for the presser. I think if Firmino starts, I would say then just play him out because he still has the best, you know, point returns per 90. I think from the Liverpool team, right? Very difficult to predict players like Firmino when he scores, and this can very well be a week which is, you know, fit for him. Right, you know, open spaces. He just glides across those empty spaces like Gundogan and scores. And he plays in a similar way like Gundogan, right? He just keeps gliding around and he is positionally very astute, right? He knows when to be where, right? And that's why he plays that, you know, false nine player. So just wait for that Klopp presser, right? In case you feel anything where Klopp says, you know, we played Darwin a lot yesterday, maybe we'll not risk him, maybe Firmino can play. Then I would suggest, you know, play Firmino out for one more week because that guy can give you points anytime and he's one of the best differentials to have, right? You know, 1 week he scores 4 goals, right? And you are like, okay, if you have him, it's like, you know, 19 of those 20 points are effective points for you. Right, compared to anyone else, right? That's one of the biggest advantages of having such players.
Let's see what happens. We'll wait for all the press conferences that we see. Even I don't know what is going to happen. We'll see. I may or may not. So that is one thing to address. The next thing is obviously we are going to look at Ben White's positioning. I got Ben White last week after the much of hype. Yes, we could see a big difference in his positioning. Obviously, he started to make those overlapping runs. And that resulted in the assist in game week 13. So I think it's better if Sankalp only walks us through both these heat maps, what we can see.
Yeah, I think returns wise, there are two ways we can gauge the impact of Ben White. One is, you know, just looking at his own heat map and the way he's giving returns now, he's getting at the end. He has got 2 assists, I think, over the last 6 weeks, right, compared to 0 earlier, right? So that is one way. And second is the impact on Saka itself as an FPL asset. And the fact that he's going wider, right? He's getting more and more confident as a right back now because he's primarily a center back. Let's not forget that. He's just playing that role because Arteta is making him play that role because of the way Saliba's, you know, come back into the team, right? And that has helped Saka a lot in his returns, right? So I think Ben White is a top FPL asset to have primarily because of the price point. Right? He's what, 4.5 or 4.6 million now. Arsenal, I know we conceded against Southampton, but I feel are still looking good for some clean sheets in the next 3, say 1 to 2, I hope. And Ben White has that one or two assists in him because he's really going wide. And what is helping our case for Ben White is the left side, where you see someone like Tomiyasu playing, right? And Tomiyasu is the guy who's playing that inverted role. And even if Tierney comes, because Tomiyasu did not have a great match against Southampton, is what I read. I didn't see that match. I was traveling. Even if you know Tierney comes in, I've seen that Tierney in Europa is playing a lot of inverted, you know, positioning as well. So I think Arteta is very clear in how he wants to develop your left and right positions. And Ben White will play that, continue to play that overlapping position. The only player that I would have considered over Ben White was Diogo Dalot. But that four yellow card thing is, you know, making me think that if you're going there, why risk it, right? Because you have only three game weeks that you're trying for. Then why not go for someone like Ben White, who has equal potential, might be slightly lesser because Diogo Dalot plays really, really good attacking side. I think he has the maximum number of, you know, penalty touches for a defender this season. I think first or second he's there in the list, right? But when Ben White is playing really well, you know, if you're looking for a move out, right, say you have a Perisic and, you know, Paul O'Keefe tells us that Perisic will not play this game week, I think Ben White is a good way to, you know, at least down take away that money and play someone who has a good potential of clean sheet as well as now attacking returns.
Yes, I think Sarkalp has summed up the Ben White story very well. I think we are good to move on to the next slide. That is, the next one is the curious case for Wilfred Zaha. Do we keep him or sell him? I mean, he's starting to get so inconsistent and people are getting pissed off. He's all of a sudden gives you a 6-pointer, 8-pointer, 2-pointer, 1-pointer, gets a yellow card, misses a penalty. It does all of these, and I think people are looking to ship him out for Foden and Saka, and I think that's the kind of moves people are looking to do now. So what do we do for this week? Do we keep him? I think hold is mentioned right up, but what do we do?
Yeah, so this slide was like, yeah, this is my opinion on holding Zaha. Like, mostly I'm holding on Zaha for this one more week. So the main reasoning is behind that. We all know that Zaha is mainly and basically an inconsistent player. You could see him take a penalty, miss the penalty, fight with someone for them and get a yellow card and then score a screamer in the next few minutes. Zaha is that kind of an FPL asset who will be always in action. And mainly, I think like Salah has been always been good at home and Southampton have been bad at home. And as you can see from this slide, Kyle Walker-Peters is injured and ruled out for the Palace game. Lyanko slotted in as right back in the last game. He had a decent game, but he is not someone who is used to play at right back, and he is playing in his makeshift position, which should make Zaha a great asset to hold for this week. And as we can see from the slide, since game week 9, Southampton are top for chances conceded from the right flank. So why not? We have this matchup in our hands, and I don't see the point in that. I personally feel Zaha, if you have him, hold him. If you can remove him and get the likes of Foden or Saka, is also sensible moves, because you can go either way. Because Saka and Foden also have very good potential this week, but I personally feel the need of using a transfer to get that move. There are more chances Saka or Foden outscores, like Zaha gets a 5-pointer and Saka and Foden get a 10-pointer. But you see 5 points for that transfer, and I see using the transfer somewhere else. If you have other fires to put around or using the transfer elsewhere, I think Zaha is a hole for me. But at the same time, it makes sense to get Foden or Saka also.
One question, Srini. Would you make a move to, say, someone like Almiron, who has Aston Villa at home? Cheaper?
Yeah, cheaper, good shout. But Zaha to Almiron? I won't do that. Yeah, I won't do that. Because Villa, we don't know which Villa are turning up this week. And so I think if you want to take something on, if that transfer enables you to get an Andreas Pereira to Saka, I think I may do it. Like, it all depends on the structure. Or if it enables you to get Darwin Nunes from your 4.5 striker. So, yeah, I think if that's the case, we can do that.
This is a very classic FPL dilemma, right? Where a player you have taken when he was on form, then once you took him, he lost his form. right? And now you have plenty of in-form players, available, and you are thinking, should I move? Should I not move? And this is a good fixture, right? Like you said, Zaha against Southampton on paper is a very good fixture for him to return. And I think 8 times out of 9, you will move out of Zaha and you will end up regretting it. And Zaha will, score, he'll outscore Saka and Foden. He can do it on any day, right? So this is one of the fun, classic, FPL challenges that we always face, right? The only reason I'm not moving out of Zaha is because I've decided not to make a transfer. Simple. Not get into that entire dilemma, right? But this is the final game week that Zaha has in my team. That's for sure. So I'm going to wait it out and hope that, people who sell him are going to regret it and people on holding him are going to, gain out of it. But that's just, hoping. If you have Salah, if you have someone like Zaha, right, you can only hope, right? Because he's a player who gives you returns in spurts, right? Suddenly 1 week he'll give you 15 points, right? And then he'll give you 2.2 point or one assist, 2.2 point, suddenly 15 points, right? So, and it's very difficult, right? So, I've always said it, when you bring on such assets into your team, you have to bring them on with expectation that they're not going to give you points every game week. You need to have patience because the moment you sell them is the week that they're going to give you a double digit.
Exactly. True. Yeah, my thinking on Zaha situation is like, hold him for one more week and then with the 2 free transfers, make better moves, which will give me a better upside. Zaha to Saka this week is a little tempting for me, but I think if they both match their returns and I need to save the cost of a transfer, the transfer next week to someone like Bowen or someone to attack the fixtures for 15, just for 15 and 16, could get me a bigger return.
Attacking 15-16 with 2 FTs is a very, strong attraction, right? And I don't think Zaha is a strong sell this game, right? There's no reason to, go out of your way and do this.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Ajit. No, go on, please.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention on the next slide, to hold Zaha further is the home, how Palace perform better at home compared to away. Like both Zaha and Palace, like Zaha doubles the numbers at home compared to away. Like he has 2.5 shots in the box at home compared to 1.25 away. And he has 6 points per game at home compared to 3.5 points. And he has like 5 goals and an assist this season. And 4 of them have come at home with the assist. So 5 goal involvement at home compared to 1 away. So, it does make sense. It is very tempting to get a Saka against Forest for me. But, and as we see also, Palace are also almost double the attack they have at home compared to away. And Vieira is someone who is a bit of under the mess. They had a decent start to the season. Then they were winless in 4 games. Then they won 1 game and then they had a bad draw. So, like, he's also someone who doesn't park the bus and sit back. He, even if the Palace concede goals, concede big chances, he wants to attack and win the game 3-2 or 4-3 something. So, I think Zaha stays in my team and it is a good move to hold him, yeah.
Just to add to the dilemma, I just received the Arsenal Europa, fixture, some news by Arsenal blog, and it says Saka will be benched for the Europa match. So, he's being rested for that Premier League. So, a bit more dilemma.
Okay, now this may change things for me. Yeah, so we never know.
So even when I was on a wild card, Sankalp told me to switch Zaha to Saka with whatever funds I had in the bank. So I didn't do that because I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. And as Sankalp was talking about, classic FPL problems that we have, it's like you want to remove Zaha because he's blank, and then once you remove him, he starts scoring again. So you keep him, he'll blank, and then then you sell him, he starts scoring. So then you keep hold on to him, he just keeps on blanking. So we don't know what is going on in that place. So for me, if I do Firmino to Nunes, I can't do Zaha to Saka. So I might do Zaha to Trossard next week. This is all different moves you can do for 2 weeks, and here and there, it's just my thought. In case if somebody who wants to downgrade Zaha, that would be what I'll look at. So, we're done with this slide. We'll move on to the next one. And that's target Fulham's right flank. Okay.
So yeah, this was something which I found very interesting. Since game week 8, Tete was the first right back choice for Fulham, and since game week 8 he got injured, we all expected the new signing Mbabu to slot in at right back, and by that time the manager wasn't convinced and he gave Bobby Cordova read as the right back choice. Yeah, we don't know how to spell him. Yeah, we'll just keep him as Reed for now. So yeah, he slotted in as right back. He started the season at right wing and he then slotted in as right back for the next 5 games. From then, we can see a pattern of things happening at Fulham. Like, they have been conceding more chances from the right flank. We can see they have conceded 4.2 chances per game on the right side when Reed plays, compared to just 2.5 chances from the right when Tete was the first choice. And their big chances conceded have also increased. It was 2.85 when Tete was the first choice and it rose to 4.0. So, I think they have been very bad. Like, Reed has been getting few attacking returns from game week 9. Playing at right back, he has been getting those crosses. He has been good attacking ways. He's more of a Trent kind of a defender. He's not a defender. He's a makeshift defender, but he's not able to defend. That's what the point I want to make. And it is a good chance to target Fulham's right flank from the next 3 weeks. We have good FPL assets who can get returns who are up against Fulham's right flank. In game week 14, we have Mikolenko and Gray on Fulham's right flank. Mikolenko got a very good shot last week and it was tapped off by Gordon. So I think he got an assist last week and Everton have 3 good games, 14, 15, 16. I think, like as Ankel mentioned, you have Dalot, Ben White and I think he's a third choice defender for me for the 3-game run. He's one of the top choices. Apart from United and Arsenal defenders, I think he's one of the ones to target. And why not do it as a differential when you have a good matchup? And game week 15, Foden will be on Fulham's right flank. And game week 16 is when Shaw and Rashford are very good informed players who we can target based on these matchups.
One shout I do like is Gray. You know, very dynamic player, very fast, right? Someone who likes taking on fullbacks, right? I think he'll have a field day, right? That can help him, that can help DCL. You know, it can go either way. But that will be a good battle to watch out.
Yes, I do have 3 players out of these listed. I have Foden, Shaw and Rashford. Let's see what happens. I mean, Cordova Reed, yeah, as you said, is an offensive player. Because I laughed a bit at Shaw because I couldn't understand how right winger slash even a forward striker is playing right back. Because Fulham do have Kevin Mbau. I don't know why he is not playing. So, it's only Marco Silva can answer what's the issue there. So, with that done, we have one last slide about Shankar. He wants to put a point like, why not KDB?
Yeah. So, it's just talking differential, right? We are heavily on Salah mode because we know what Salah has done, right? It's just a past legacy bias that continues, right? Because he can do that every week, any week. That we know for sure. But for a 3-week point, right? I won't call it point. I think 3-week strategic move. I think KDB is a guy to, you know, consider, right? This week, especially because they are facing Leicester City. And like Srini, you know, mentioned at some point of time, City can score 3, 4, 5 against Leicester City. And this is how KDB played last season. If you look at the heat map, it is a heat map of a false nine, you know, right wing kind of player, because those are the spaces that he covers. And he did it last season. He gave us 200 plus points. Primarily playing this role with a point per game of 6.5 points per game. So I think terrific player, someone who is going under the radar regularly for us, right? When people, I don't know how much Salah will give us returns, but I know for sure that I'm just waiting for that World Cup wildcard to come. This time I'm just going to start with KDB and end with KDB. 19 to game week 17 to 38 for me. It is going to be KDB unless, World Cup, we had any sort of, issues or, he played till end of, say, final. Right? Those kind of things is the only thing that is going to make me think this time I'm not going to get away. But he's a very good player. And I think regardless of whether Haaland plays or not, he is going to give you returns. But if Haaland does not play any of the weeks, this is the week, I think he's a very good, differential captain that we are missing out on. Someone asked, KDB vice captain, I think it's a terrific shout. In case Haaland doesn't play, I think it's the best out for me, more than Salah. The best out for me.
Agreed. I think, yeah, after Haaland, I think KDB should be the best transfer, I mean, best captaincy choice if you have him. But yeah, for like, I would like to add to what Sankalp told, like for the next 3 weeks, Sankalp was talking post the World Cup break, but for the next 3 weeks, I think he surely starts all the three games because he was rested in the midweek Champions League game. He didn't even play a single minute. And with Haaland,
he won't play the next one as well. Not required.
Yeah, right? Not required. Exactly. City are on top of the group. City are logged in. So I think he surely starts the next three games. And irrespective of Haaland starts or we get news on Haaland, KDB is a top asset to vice captain or even captain this week. If you want to go different, ahead of Salah for me.
And next two matches are at home, at Fulham and Brentford. Exactly. Not very difficult, right? They are expected to continue.
Yeah, they both teams are very bad defensively away also. So I think he's a very good 3 week punt if you are looking. If you have the funds, but if you want to get in someone, Sankalp, a question for you. Someone has a Sterling or a Son or a 9 million asset and have 3 million on the bank. Would you transfer in Salah or KDB?
For KDB. KDB, because it's for the 3 weeks, right? That's my point. If it's only 1 week, I might get into Salah. But this is again that FPL dilemma where you want to get to a person who you think will score and this one player who is continuing scoring. I know 90% of the people will go for Salah, but I feel the correct answer is going for KDB.
Yeah, over the 3 weeks, I think KDB is the right choice, like you told. Yeah, agreed. But I want to conclude, like, we won't suggest the sideway move from Salah to KDB. But if you don't have both and have the funds to bring in someone, I think we'll go for KDB.
100%. Correct.
And also put the vice captaincy on him. Yeah.
I would put the captaincy on him. Just go with it. Because I don't think Haaland plays 90. For sure. And with KDB rested on the Champions League, I think he plays closer to 90. Right. So I would say just, put that captaincy, chip on him and just look at the match with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, if you have two City assets, I think KDB should be your top transfer target. Someone like me who have three City assets already, Foden, Haaland and Cancelo, I can't get KDB, but if I have two, he'll be on top of my plans.
Okay. That's the reason I have to wait for wild card as well. That's the reason. I did a -8 last week and I brought in Cancelo because I was losing out points often, and I, especially for those two home games, is the games that I was targeting, and I went for and got Cancelo. Right, who I think of these three games will do something good,
yeah.
But sure. Definitely, getting KDB post World Cup on that wild card.
Yes, so we've done with this slide, and what you can see up on your screen is KDB's last season's heat map and points. Don't get confused. If I'm right. So that's one thing. And we think we're done with all the slides with players to target. And now let's to briefly sum up the captaincy pick as we discussed earlier, for those who are tuning in late and are asking about captaincy. If Pep says anything about Haaland, like he may play and all, then it's Haaland, no doubt. If Haaland is 100% ruled out, if that's the case, then you can switch to KDB, Salah, Kane and Saka and all the other players based on whoever you have. I think that's it, right? That's the captaincy of the
Nunes.
Yeah, Salah, Nunes, and all in the same bracket. Whoever you have, so don't just break your bank to get those players in. So I think that's with captaincy more or less. And we'll quickly answer one or two questions. So I'm just looking out from the top. We covered up the question about Danny Ings. A captaincy we've just spoken now. There's one about Zaha versus Eze.
I wouldn't break my head to bring both of them in my teams, consider how Palace are playing. But if you have to pick one, I think I'll still pick Zaha. He is more directly involved. Eze has been matching the numbers off late, getting in more attacking positions. But I don't see the point getting in both of them. If you don't have the funds, you can go for Eze. He can get one or two attacking returns in the next three games. And Zaha, if we never know with Zaha. He can get a yellow card and two blanks. He can also get three goals and assist in the next three games. So Zaha is the one for me.
Yeah, I will not bring in either. You know, if I don't have them, I'll just not bring in either. I don't think Crystal Palace are looking that threatening for us to, you know, get in their assets. But say, you know, you just have to make a move, I would say Zaha is always the premium guy to own, right? He's more or less expected to be the guy to score, to with the talisman of the team. So always look for that talisman and go there.
We have two more questions, which I think I'll only finish answering this. We already discussed, that's why. Saka versus Zaha, if you're going to get someone, it is Bukayo Saka, there's no doubt. I think that's pretty much very clear. There's no need to even discuss. In terms of Bobby Firmino's replacements, as we discussed, if you can either hold on to him if Klopp says that Firmino, Nunes and Salah is preferably going to be my tech. If not, sideways move to Darwin is obviously better. If you don't have a Liverpool asset like Salah, if you do have Salah and you have Bobby Firmino, then I think getting Jesus might be another move here and there. That's what I would say. I don't think there are any other feasible options. Maybe you can downgrade to Mitrovic and all. Wilson, yes. Mitrovic, Tony and all. These are the other players in one bracket. So we're done with captaincy. We have answered the questions, whatever we've got. Let's go quickly to our bus teams. So this is Santosh's team, as he was saying. I think he's saving his free transfer.
Yeah, I'm saving a transfer. I'm just not doing anything. In case Haaland doesn't play, I think Solanke might play for me. I'm still going to play him over Chilwell. You know, I just don't know what minutes Chilwell gets. I don't think they get a clean sheet. He's not giving attacking returns like he used to, because I think Potter is playing him in a different way. So Solanke comes in for Chilwell, because Solanke is, I think Bournemouth coach just confirmed that Solanke looks healthier now. And going with a Newcastle double defense, going with Foden, Cancelo, Saka, Zaha, Martinelli and Raya at the back. Hope for the best.
Do you think Doherty starts this week after starting two successive games?
Possibly no. I'm waiting for Paulo Keefe's you know, post. But he was taken out a bit early last in the Champions League match. So that is a bit of a savior. I'm hoping that he does. If he does not, then I think Chilwell is going to be the, you know, guy to come in for me.
So let's go to Srini's team. And
We missed touching upon the fact that, you know, Srini is doing really, really well.
Yeah, I wanted to get it up now because this is his team and he's currently ranked 67,000, so we are probably that multiplied 5 times, whatever you want, somewhere way behind.
50 times.
Yeah, I've been having a lucky season, and the luck has been on my side so far this season. And yeah, this is what my team looks like at the moment. I have 1.6 on the bank. And yeah, the bus team says I have Castagne up against City, but it will be Dunk versus Chelsea at home. So my team is Pope on goal, Dunk, Trippier, Cancelo in defense, Zaha, Salah, Foden, Martinelli in midfield, Haaland, Mitrovic, Tony up front. So yeah, I think I'm probably rolling my transfer. I would start Dunk ahead of Castagne this week, and yeah, up against Chelsea at home, I think Dunk may get a clean sheet if I'm lucky, but I don't see the need of wasting a transfer on a defender this season, like for this 3 week run. I don't see the point. Maybe I can do Castagne to someone like Shaw or Dalot, but I'm not sure on it yet. I'm holding Zaha. Zaha to Saka is another tempting thing to do. I have the money in the bank, but as I told, I want to hold Zaha and see for one more week.
Patient FPL manager. Right. So one reason for success, we know.
So there is one more question. I'll address quickly. Foden to KDB on a free transfer. I think that's a no. From my end.
No. Yeah.
Very difficult to say yes. I want to say yes, honestly. If you have the money and you are someone chasing, I would say go for it, honestly. Because I feel this week, KDB is a better asset, at least for me, you know, positioning-wise, because I don't think Haaland starts, right? You are going completely against the wind and you will have a, you know, huge, you know, possibility of making a rank gain. So if you're someone who's you know, chasing it, I would say go for it. But Foden has not given any reason for him to be sold. If there's any other guy you can sell, definitely try to sell the other guy. If you have three assets, Yeah, makes sense. Go for it. 3 weeks, I think, decent fun to go. There's nothing, you know, you won't lose out a lot, I think, going KDB against Ford.
There's another follow-up question. I don't know whether it is, if not, whether it is dire to show. I think that's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Moving
yeah.
to look
yeah,
for.
I would do that on a free transfer than Ford into KDB. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So if that's the case, sensibly, then please yes. do that. So lastly, but not the least, we'll go to my team. This is my team, which I, you know, with wildcard and also I have Raya, Trippier, Cancio, White, Martinelli, Foden, Rashford and Zaha, Haaland, Firmino and Kane. I doubt most of you had Rashford. I don't know. I didn't see if you had Rashford.
Always looking at going there, but I'm just waiting for him to score first.
Because that's the problem. Exactly. Because there's a bias thing. That's why I have Rashford and... Man, he's missing chances and all. So let's
on the wild card, I would have perhaps gone there, right? I would have gone there over Zaha, to be honest. I would have played Saka and I would have gone Rashford over Zaha. Because he's there at the receiving end of the chances. And your wild card is there to attack, right? So I think you're attacking it well. But with Rashford, he's a guy who, you know, once he scores, he starts scoring, right? So you're just waiting for that first goal to happen, right? I'm okay doing it 1 week later.
By the time it will be game week 17, man. So we'll see what happens. So why? Yeah, he's not been converting his chances. With Spurs, he should have had a hat trick, and I mean, yeah, disappointing over the last 2 weeks. Nevertheless, let's see how things go on against West Ham. Hoping with the best. My bench is a problem. Ignoring the second and third, so I don't know how can I get in Luke Shaw.
Because I think Trippier. For White, right? You just have to trust that, right? Because, you know, I know it's Ben White, but I think equivalent chances of clean sheet are there. And Benso is traditionally a bit more attacking fullback, right? You just have to trust the numbers, right? No, I don't think anyone moves Trippier. I don't think anyone moves Cancelo, right? Those two are strong. Ben White is someone you can do. You can try. Worth a sub.
Okay, yeah. An Arsenal fan is telling me to sub off White, so I will definitely do it because that means Sankalp is not confident of a clean sheet at home. So I'll probably take it as a yes and, you know, sub.
Shah has a little more upside potential compared to it. That's what the thought process, I guess. Yeah,
and but set pieces.
Either way, I think it will not matter because Haaland will not play and you will have both coming in, but still. You know.
So I might do Bobby to Darwin. That's, I might. We'll see later what happens based on the pressers. And I think we've addressed all the questions from the
one
chat.
One thing I wanted to ask, you know, one question from my side, at least to Srini,
okay.
Because he's having such a wonderful season. I'd see, you know, what are your top, you know, one or two, you know, thoughts of why you have had such a good season so far? You know, what has worked for you, at least, on reflection so far?
On reflecting, I think I have been a more, after being on Twitter and stuff, I think I've been a more calm manager this season. I've taken only one hit this season so far, I think.
Whoa,
so
that's amazing.
So, yeah, that's like not... I think it's basically patience has a little bit helped me on. And luck has been obviously on my side. Getting those Pereira points off the bench sometimes and delaying those transfers, like few transfers I wanted to make 1 week before. And I've been on the right side of few Diaz versus Robo calls. I took Diaz initially, which worked for me. And it was... And it was very 50-50 because I got Tony at the right time. He has been getting those returns. Like Tony compared to someone like... I was thinking of Tony or someone like Nunes or someone to punt and then keep switching around Wilson based on the fix. I stuck with Tony. I wanted to have him till game week 16. Like you told me, there are some players who I wanted for the longer run. Tony was one of them. He has been getting returns consistently. Mitrovic was one of them. Like having them over a period of time has helped for me. Trusting the place you got them in for a reason, that they are really good on the eye test and also on the stats. Why not trust them for a few more weeks? Yeah, that's
strong. I sold Tony for the game week. He gave us 17 points, right? And I went from Tony to Nunes, I remember. right, yeah, I think
yeah, that was not a bad call either.
Good.
Yeah, that's what exactly. Yeah.
Not
that's
a bad call, but... Yeah. But I think patience is a very, very underrated virtue of FPL, right? Most weeks you will feel like, you know, this is the move to make, and you'll do it on a hit as well. But sometimes not doing anything is doing the best thing in FPL.
Exactly. Yeah. Summed it up perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah, I took only two hits so far. I patiently used my wild card last week. You know, things are not going my way still. What can we do? Yeah. So as you said, luck. We don't have luck.
Did you captain Haaland against United?
Yeah. I captain. I did.
So Aditya.
Yeah, obviously.
Aditya did that.
There was a brave call, I think. Totally right. Luck is not on my side.
Yeah. So that I have lost count. I have lost count of the hits that I have taken. I'm just not looking there. You know, it is going to hurt me. I'm going to do that review post wildcard, post this World Cup, during the World Cup break, just to see. I know I made a lot of mistakes. I just want to go there, review it once, and maybe write an article about it for, you know, on All About FPL, on what has not worked for me. Right? And we'll have Srini write what has worked for him. Right?
Yeah, sure.
So I think those would be probably our closing words for this episode. So hope everyone who joined, you know, had a great time. We hopefully answered all your questions and covered all the things that was necessary looking at Game Week 14. We'll be back next week for Game Week 15. Those who are listening to us on all the audio platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, do drop us a rating and a comment there, feedback. And those who are watching the clip on YouTube, please do subscribe and, you know, hit the bell icon and drop in your comments below, and any feedbacks would be greatly appreciated. We'll improve our content as we grow every week and week. So yeah, that brings.
I can hit the like button. And hit the like button, because at least you know, we get recommended to more and more people and help us grow.
Yes. So that's it. That brings us to the end of this episode. We'll see what happens with Haaland and no Haaland, Mo Salah and no Salah, and yeah, we'll see you all next week. Bye.